This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words are love that have been spoken.
This morning we will conclude our journey in 2 Timothy, and Dr. Wyatt relates Paul's closing declaration that he has fought the fight, run the race, and has kept the faith.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, and we are to hear the affirmation Paul provides, that assurance, the positive declaration that he will receive a crown of righteousness. And this is a promise for us as well. Do stay tuned.
I am already to the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. When you come, bring my cloak that I left, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will requite him for his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one took my part. All deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength to proclaim the message fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. What we have just heard is Paul bringing to a conclusion his appeal to his protege, Timothy, a call that he fulfill his ministry. This is all because Paul perceives that his end is near. In these few verses, we have Paul's poignant passing of the torch to the next generation, the closing chapter on one of the greatest lives ever lived. Here are words of pathos, yet victory, of struggle, yet certainty, the understanding that all that has been his life and ministry is in God's hand, and that he can now stand confident in the Lord, that his work has not just been of value, but will be rewarded. Paul will do so by using a series of dramatic metaphors that seemed just as real to us nearly 2,000 years later. First, he relates that he is already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul is, of course, referring to the Old Testament drink offerings where wine was poured out before the Lord in the temple. He is saying, "Already I am being poured out. My life is being emptied before God, for the time has come for my departure." The Greek Paul uses here is literally a term describing the loosening of the tent ties by a soldier as he breaks camp to begin the next leg of his journey, or a sailor loosening the moorings of his ship to prepare for launching out on a new voyage. Paul clearly expects this present imprisonment to not result in his release as it had before, that his ministry is coming to an end, and that now the great and final prize of all the faithful now awaits him. Yet we also pick up on Paul's concern that this is not a good time to be leaving. The gospel is being contaminated. People have itchy ears for messages that are neither true or helpful. And so Paul makes every effort to encourage, enable, and energize Timothy. As Paul will say, "I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word in urgency, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort." As Paul is not expecting release, he will now tell Timothy, "I have fought the good fight." This English translation is misleading, for the metaphor is not military nor of a boxing match. It is a reference to the great Greek athletic competitions. He is literally saying, "I have engaged or contested in the noble contest." He is referring, of course, to the Greek intense interest in running races, and that Paul is saying that he has not merely run well or has been a good competitor, but that he, as he urges Timothy to compete in this noblest, this grandest race of them all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul then adds that he has finished his race. For him, the contest, which is in the Greek agon, from which we get our word agony, is now over. And above all, in this engagement, this contest, he, Paul, has kept the faith. He has given it his all. In this race, this contest, the focus is on competing and finishing. To finish, to do your best, to keep the faith, is to win. The Christian life is thus the commitment to run all the way to the finish. And Paul contends that he has in this contest preserved the faith intact. The deposit, the teachings entrusted to him, he has faithfully shared and passed on. He has been faithful with all that has been entrusted to him. As he had told Governor Festus and King Agrippa, "I have been faithful to my heavenly vision." And as such, Paul will use still another metaphor. As the race is now finished for him, there now is laid up for him the crown of righteousness. What was in the ancient world the sign of victory, a simple wreath of laurel, Paul describes now for the faithful as a crown that those who are made righteous will receive. It is not a reward for what one may have achieved. There is no New Testament ground for such a statement. One receives this final crown of righteousness precisely because one has already received the righteousness that comes from Christ and preserved it to the very end. It is the attainment of the life promise in Christ Jesus, a crown for one's steadfastness, our faithfulness to our calling. Paul is but affirming that he has finished his race. He has kept his vow, competed according to the rules, through all the hard times, the great times, those moments of aggravation, and yet those wondrous victories. Through it all, he has kept the faith. And now on that day, meaning at the Lord's coming, it will be awarded to him by the Lord himself, the one and only righteous judge. And awarded not only to Paul, but now he redirects our thoughts back to Timothy. And not only to Timothy, but to all who will on that day not only be awarded with the likes of Paul, but it includes all those who have loved his appearing. It is a wonderful and heartwarming thought when we realize that our crown, our award for our part in this noble contest, this great race, will be the same. Such a crown is not reserved then only for the super Christians, but the anonymous little lady that faithfully does her part in cleaning the sanctuary every week for Sunday services. those who are always there to bring food or do whatever they can when one of the members of the church is incapacitated or a loved one has passed on to glory. Those that did all the little things as well as the notable acts. That is, all will be acknowledged for keeping the faith. Paul continues this very personal letter with an appeal for some personal acts of kindness towards himself. Some are very human needs. He asks for Christian companionship, a warm old cloak for the coming winter, and his scrolls, especially the parchments. Paul is asking for what we all may need, the presence, the tangible reality of good friends, a sense of comfort, some warmth when things turn cold. And for some like Paul, it is about as well the scrolls, especially the parchments. This is usually translated the books and especially the parchments. Books or codexes were still a few hundred years away. Instead, he is asking for the collection of scrolls and mentions especially the parchments, those writings on the more expensive material called parchment. That this is anything but Old Testament scriptures cannot be doubted. Everything then was hand-copied. There would be no printing presses for over 1,500 years, and as such, all writings were precious. And those on parchment, especially expensive. It is hard for us to appreciate the dearness, the value of such scrolls and parchments, when Bibles, cleanly printed, even with study notes, are so common and inexpensive today that we can even find them in pocket sizes. 2,000 years ago, what we call the Old Testament would be a huge armful of scrolls, obviously difficult to carry around, especially after being arrested. Paul is also expressing some very personal needs. Those needs have been exacerbated by the painful desertion of Demas. He had been with Paul in his earlier Roman imprisonment, along with Mark and Luke, but now he has left, going home to Thessalonica. All Paul says is it is because he loves this present world. Paul's wording here is in great contrast to those who are awarded the crown of righteousness because they love Christ's appearing. Was it the surety of Paul's execution this time? The difficulty of dealing with such an outcome? And that it might include him, Demas? We can only guess, but it is a picture of reality. It has hurt Paul deeply. Then with Christians being sent to the churches in Galatia, Titus now in Dalmatia, and Tychicus going to Ephesus, only Luke will remain with Paul. So he asked Timothy to bring Mark with him. Years have passed since Mark had left he and Barnabas in Cyprus, being then unprepared for such work of evangelism. Obviously he has changed, and now Paul says he is useful for me for ministry. There is in all this the need to hurry, as he will close this letter later with the words, "Do your best to get here before winter." He needs the cloak, and travel is very difficult after October in the first century. All this may seem dated and has little relevance for us today, but that would be to see this superficially. For Paul will also ask that Alexander the coppersmith be requited or repaid by the Lord according to his deeds, for he did great harm to Paul. He tells Timothy to also beware of him, for he has strongly oppressed the gospel, and no one stood with him during his first defense or his first preliminary hearing. Yet despite all these problems, Paul can say the Lord strengthened him, and he has at this point been delivered figuratively out of the mouth of the lion. But note how Paul sees all of this. It was so the message might be fully preached through me, he says, and that all the Gentiles might hear. We know little about Alexander the coppersmith or what occurred at Paul's preliminary hearing, but he remains able to proclaim the gospel in fullness is obvious, and that his end has been postponed at least for the coming winter. But note how Paul does not remain inactive or passive. He will do whatever he can. The work with the churches continues, and he has sent out his co-workers to the various areas, Dalmatia, Crete earlier, Galatia, and now Ephesus. But he would gather about him those of stout and active faith for the work still to be done in Rome. That a coppersmith has been an obstacle, Paul will simply consign to God's judgment. As Paul has earlier written to the Romans, "Repay no one evil for evil. Never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God." And Paul concludes his thoughts here by stating, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul's anger is never denied, but instead turned over to God. To deny anger only leads to deeper problems. Anger is only sinful when we allow it to rule us. There will be times when we are obstructed, people are hostile, will not endure sound teaching, gather to themselves those that say and teach what they want to hear, and thus wander into myths. But as for us, we are to be steady and endure the difficulties. Nothing has really changed. There are still the Alexanders who would hurt the messenger and obstruct the presentation of the gospel. But rather than be dismayed or overwrought, just turn them over to God to repay them for what they have done. Like Paul, despite the obstacles, the difficulties, even being found now in chains, remember that the gospel can never be placed in chains. As Paul continues his work, "How can we do less? He was imprisoned under imperial threat and facing execution. Our hurdles, our difficulties are so much less. Let us do the work of evangelism, fulfilling our ministry, that we might thus be able to say that we have kept the faith. Oh yes, let it be said of us always, in every situation, that we have done our best contesting in this noble contest, and a crown of righteousness awaits, because we have kept the faith." Oh my Lord and Savior, let it be said of us that we continue to fulfill our ministry, whatever it may be, to serve others, to share the faith, pray for the healing and wholeness of others, and that in it all we never waver, but that always it will be said of us, we have kept the faith, that your kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven, all for the glorious name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
As we look back on the life of Paul, we are so indebted to him and stand in awe at all he accomplished. And yet, all who love the appearing of our Lord, who have beheld the Savior will, with Paul, receive a crown of righteousness. It is simply a matter of keeping the faith, to stand with all those who have gone before in the truth of the gospel. This is what divides the world, and why Thomas is offering his primer, Judgment and Promise. This is a look at the consequences of our choices. Will it be judgment or God's promise? And this brief study may be of great help to so many. We want all of you to write to us this week to have a copy of Judgment and Promise. It is yours at no charge. Dear ones, we want you to know how much you mean to us and how honored we are to have you in our Wings of Healing family. Words cannot express enough in telling you how much we appreciate all of you and how we hold you continuously in our hearts and our prayers. And we would hope that more of you will join in making it possible for the Wings of Healing to continue God's work that began with the help of charitable people like you. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This is such a poignant moment. As we allow Paul's word to resonate, he had indeed kept the faith. It is indeed the wish of us all. It is of all things what this ministry desires to do, to strengthen
give others the tools to keep this, the good news, going forth. I do encourage you all to write and ask for any and all of the material we offer. Dennis will give our addresses at the close once more. But now Audrey Assad comes again with this rendition of It Is Well With My Soul. And until next week, continue to fight the good fight.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. And also this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering to all those who will write a copy of his book, Judgment and Promise. This lays out the true consequences of our decisions. One leads to judgment, the other to the incredible promise of our faith. Do write and ask for your copy of Judgment and Promise.
It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna, asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.